I want you to open your Bibles this evening, the closing moments, in the book of Mark's Gospel in the chapter number 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And we'll commence to read at verse number 22. Verse 22 of Mark chapter 5. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at Jesus' feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hand on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him, and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Amen. And we know the Lord Jesus will bless his word to our hearts, and write it upon our hearts by the power of his Holy Spirit, for his lovely name's sake. Amen. Here we see in this passage of God's word, the Lord Jesus meeting the need, first of all, of Jairus' daughter, and then, of course, of this woman of the issue of blood. You'll see the differences of the circumstances that these two people were in. First of all, there was one had a family problem, and the other had a personal problem. Our sister, she gave her testimony. She pointed out the fact that there was a family problem, that indeed there was a family problem that was something that she couldn't heal. And, of course, there was a personal problem that entered into her life, and took over her life, and even brought her to the point of despair. Here in this passage of God's Word, we see two people, Jairus, who had got a family problem, and here we see the woman with the issue of blood, and she had a personal problem. Of course, you'll see they're very different individuals. For example, Jairus was a very important man in that society. He was a ruler in the synagogue. In other words, he was a real somebody in society. People looked up to him, and people were able to expect great things from him. On the other hand, here's a woman, she's anonymous. Her name's not given. She's, in other words, as far as man's concerned, she was a nobody. Jairus has a daughter. This little daughter has given her father great happiness for 12 years. On the other hand, we have got the woman with the issue of blood. And if you look back over the 12 years of her life, instead of happiness, she has been afflicted. She has endured this affliction in her body for 12 long years. Jairus, I believe, was a wealthy man. He was a man that found out that no matter much he had, money couldn't save his daughter. On the other hand, we find the woman was penniless because she had spent all. She had what she had, but she spent everything. And yet she found out she could not save herself from the sickness that was pressing upon her body. But notice that Christ was the answer to both these people. The Lord Jesus was the answer to Jairus and the family problem. For praise God, the Lord Jesus healed his daughter and restored her back, yea, even to life itself, and took her from the very jaws of death. On the other hand, the Lord Jesus was the answer to this woman. This woman with the issue of blood for 12 long years. And praise God, even as the Lord Jesus was in his way to touch and to heal and to bring the daughter back to life and restore her and to give her to her father once again. Here was a woman, praise God, in many ways an outcast. But the Lord Jesus was the answer to her need. I think of the words of the hymn writer when it says, it is no secret what God can do. What He did for this woman, praise God, He can do for you. Notice first of all, very simply tonight, this woman here and her disease. The Bible says in verse 25, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. Now I don't know, friend, how this diagnosis came about. I don't know whether she went to a doctor. I don't know whether she went to the physician of that day to find out there was something wrong. She knew there was a problem in her body. But this I do know. The problem that she had in her body was something that lasted for 12 long years. She experienced year after year the endless years of hemorrhaging. And her life was seen to ebb away. This was a real condition. You know, some people have got a sickness and it's only imaginary sickness. They go to the doctor, and every time you go into the surgery, you could hardly get to the doctor because the hardy annuals are sitting there. And they have their problem. It seems to be always the same problem. I tell you, there was nothing imaginary about this woman. She really needed attention. She was a woman that had a deep sense of her need. She had got a disease. It was real. And she felt the burden of it upon her heart. One day, preacher was preaching the Word of God and telling men and women about their sin and the depravity of their heart and how dark they were and how sinful they were. And they were in a Christless state and in their sin they were without hope. There's a young smart aleck was sitting in the congregation. And whenever the preacher was saying to him about his sin and preaching to the congregation, he just spoke up to the preacher and he said, "I don't swallow that stuff, preacher. I don't swallow that stuff at all." And you know, the preacher, just in a moment, friend, he just replied, "Son, you don't have to swallow it. It's in you already." And friend, let me tell you this, the problem's already in you. Someone here in this gathering tonight, maybe you have a body that's healthy as far as you're concerned. You know of no disease that's striking away at your vital organs and you seem to be well. And yet, you could be carrying the greatest disease that any man ever has known, the disease of sin. And friend, that sin's eating away at you. That sin's destroying you, and yet you don't realize you're totally indifferent to the problem. You've got a problem of the heart, and you can't see the spiritual disease that's already there. And that sin is so serious, friend. That sin will take you to hell. It's always a solemn moment, you know, when a person goes to the doctor, and the doctor diagnoses something that is very serious. And you know, whenever you hear the doctor saying those words, friend, you know you're in trouble. You know that life may soon be over. Let me tell you, here was a woman, and she had got a disease. And she's just growing weaker all the time. And life is ebbing away from her. Thank God she knew her problem. But there's people here tonight, and you've got the sin disease in the very depths of your heart, and yet you don't realize it. And friend, it'll destroy you. Your sin will damn you. Your sin will take you to the lowest hell, and yet you're fooling around with it because the Bible says, fools make a mock at sin. And you don't see the seriousness of the problem that you've got. But here's a woman. She has experienced the effects of her disease. She's getting weaker. Day by day, just as her sister said, she'd wake up in the morning. Here's a woman. She's weaker than ever before. She realizes that she's helpless. She realizes that she's going down in her health. And she's growing weak and powerless to do anything about it. You realize tonight that of yourself you cannot change your life. You cannot change your heart. You of yourself cannot change the heart problem that's eating away at the vital part of your being. And destroying your very life and destroying your very soul. You see this wee woman here? The law and tradition of her society in which we live, it brought her no hope. Because you see, it brought her no help, but rather it burdened her. Because according to the law, this wee woman was ceremonially unclean. And what happened was this, because of her uncleanness, it restricted her social life and it restricted her religious life and people didn't want to know her. And she was set apart
from those that were around her.
Let me tell you, friend, you may be enjoying yourself for your sin. It mightn't be setting you apart from the rest of society. But I'll tell you what it's doing. It's setting you apart from God. Your sin has separated between you and God. And as far as society is concerned, they may be cheering you. They may be lauding you. They may be applauding you. And you think you're having a wonderful time and they're clapping your back. And as you clink the glass, it seems that the world is your oyster. And you've got the world crowded around you. You don't realize that your sin has separated between you and God. That's the seriousness of your disease, friend. The disease of sin. But notice secondly, not only her disease, but notice her desire. Look at verse 26. It said, she suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. And was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. You notice this young woman, she wanted better. She wanted to be different. She wasn't satisfied with the weakness of her body. She wasn't satisfied with her present state. There was a longing in her soul. And the longing in her soul was this, that she would be healed. She tried everything to get better. She knew she was diseased, the Bible says. She suffered many things of many physicians. Listen. And she had spent all that she had. She was willing to do anything to get better. Somebody would come along and say, did you hear about so-and-so? He's got the answer to your need. And she went to him. It always cost her. You hear about the medicine. There's American medicine. Like, you know, it's going to be the answer to your problem. And off the wee woman would go, and she would stand, and she'd reach out her hand to take the medicine. But of course, she reached out her money to pay. Until there were nowhere else to go, friend. Notice what the Bible says. She suffered. She suffered many things of many physicians. Because let me tell you, friend, there were people who knew that this woman was so serious about her desire. Listen, they were willing to make a fool of her. They took advantage of that wee woman. Because many of those physicians knew full well there was nothing they could do for her. But as long as she was paying, they would use her. Let me tell you, friend, the devil will direct you everywhere and anywhere. You're carrying within a sin-sick soul. You're longing for happiness. You're longing for peace. You're longing for hope. You're longing, friend, for satisfaction of mind. You're longing, indeed, for peace of heart. And the devil will send you everywhere. He'll send you to the physicians of the world. You know what happens? You'll suffer by the physicians. You see, many a man has been told, listen, the place for you to be is, listen, take the wee drink, sure, it will satisfy. It'll give you happiness. And friend, you'll go in and you'll start getting into the company of the world. And you'll pay for your liquid damnation. And it promises to give you peace, but there's emptiness of heart and of body and of mind. And she suffered not only from her affliction, but she suffered from the physicians that could never heal her. The Bible says she spent all that she had. She came to an end of her resources. Friend, she was nowhere better. But she grew worse, the Bible says. Was nothing better. But rather grew worse. And no matter what she tried. Listen, I see the wee woman and she's working her fingers to the bone because she needs to pay. She needs to pay. She needs to pay. And friend, the devil will make you pay. And yet, you know what the Word of God says? O ye that are thirsty, come ye to the water. And ye that have no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You see, the greatest gift that a man or woman can ever get, friend, is free. The gift of God, which is eternal life. No earthly surgery can take away the load of sin from a guilty conscience. No hand of a priest or a preacher or a presbyter or a prophet or a philosopher can cleanse the leprosy of man's sin. No medicine beneath the sky can stay the palpitations of the heart that dreads the judgment day of God to come. And she spent all. Nothing more to give. Nobody wants her. And she sits down to die. Men and women tonight, let me tell you, I don't care where you turn to outside of Christ, you'll not find the answer to your soul. But notice very quickly, notice the discovery. Notice it says in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus. She heard of Jesus. You see, the Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. I have no doubt whatsoever when this woman heard about Jesus, there were many doubts in her mind. There were many questions in her heart. There were many obstacles the devil would put up in her way. There were many hurdles that he would put in her path. My, the old devil would say to her, listen, everyone else on whom you're relied should have failed. There's no use turning to Him. There's no use trying Jesus. He, like the rest, will fail. There's no hope. Now what the devil said to Ruth, in the midst of her need, there's no hope. There's no use you bothering with God. If you're everybody else you've relied upon, listen, they've been like a broken stick. There's no use turning to the Lord. According to the law, she was ceremonially unclean. And if they knew her affliction and she came into their presence, friend, they felt contaminated even by her presence. And if she insisted in her presence in their midst, let me tell you, they could take her out and stone her. Because the law offered no hope. Yes, the devil put many obstacles in the way. I can hear the old devil saying, listen, sure he's going with Jairus. He's not here for you. He doesn't want you. He doesn't want to be bothered with you. He's going with Jairus. He's going with a big man. You're a nobody. You think the Lord Jesus is going to be bothered with a nobody when He's in the presence of a somebody? You know He's going with Jairus and his daughter's ill, and you can't waste His time, woman. You can't distract them. You can't disturb Jesus. You're not important enough. Has the devil not said that to many a soul, friend? Man or woman that has felt in the very grip of sin and the power of sin, and they feel hopeless and they feel helpless, and the devil says there's no use you calling the Lord. The Lord doesn't want you. The Lord's not interested in you. Then I can hear the old devil say it. Listen, you're only going to him because you got no help anywhere else. You're going to him as a last resort. And you don't really believe he can do anything for you anyhow. Do you think he doesn't know that you're only going to him because there's nowhere else to go? And friend, the devil put hurdle after or upon her. And there she stands. And she's bent over and broken and tired and weary and exhausted and hopeless and helpless. And she watches the crowd. She ponders. He may not be interested in me. And I don't want to bother him with an old filthy woman like me. But you know, I believe if I only but touch the hem of his garment, that's not bothering him, is it? If I could only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. Touching Jesus. I don't know who told that woman about Jesus, but thank God they did. She heard. She heard of Jesus. And you know, there's something happened in that woman's heart. When the devil put every obstacle in her way and every hurdle in her path, somehow in the very depths of her soul, she was crying out for Jesus. Oh, I need Jesus. She knew he was the answer. You see, faith cometh by hearing. And you know, a miracle happened in that woman's heart that day. In this wee, hopeless, helpless soul, the seed of faith was sown. Who put it there, friend? I believe it was a miracle of God. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him. She wasn't worthy to stand in his presence. She felt that she was a nobody, a nothing. She didn't go up like Jairus and say to Jesus, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." No, she never opened her mouth. But she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. That was faith. You know what you believe? She believed Christ was the answer. She did. She really believed it. Christ was the answer. Hallelujah. She didn't say, "I'll try, Jesus." Didn't say that, friend. She tried the physicians. But she didn't say, "I'll try, Jesus." She says, "I trust Jesus." But she said, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." There wasn't a doubt about that. And I believe that God implanted that faith in the woman's heart. And I believe she believed that Christ could do in a moment what the rest of them couldn't do for 12 years. That's a miracle of God's grace. It took a miracle. But praise God, He's the God of miracles, isn't He? He can make you whole. Notice her decision. She came on the press behind Him. She felt unworthy. She felt unclean. But listen to me. She laid aside all excuses. And she laid aside all obstacles. And by simple faith, she came to Jesus. In spite of her fears, in spite of the crowd, I see that wee bent over woman just reaching out her wee hand. I see a wee trembling hand. But I see the hand of simple faith. And she touched Him. She made a decision that day. Nobody else can make the contact for me. And by God's grace, I'm not missing Jesus. I will touch Him. And friend, she did. And notice quickly her deliverance. Verse 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Notice it was instantaneous. Notice it was complete. It was the work of Christ. And straightway the fountain of our blood was dried up. Listen, friend. There was a witness within. She knew within her. And you see, when a person comes to Christ, then, praise God, He gives to His children the blessed Holy Spirit. And God's Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we're born of God. The work is done. I came as a child to Christ. And praise God, I called with simple childlike faith. And I was made whole. Now very quickly, notice her declaration. Verse 30, Jesus immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, He turned Him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And His disciples said unto Him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" That didn't stop the Master, friend. Praise God. That, listen. And He looked round about. Notice this. The Holy Ghost is very clear. He looked round about to see her. Her. See, the Lord Jesus knew to see her that had done this thing. And the woman fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. Praise God, she had the witness within. The work was done. It was real. This was real work. This was real deliverance. Glory to God. She knew the work was done in her. She had a blessed assurance. She came, fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And she testified, "It's me, Lord. It's me." You know, it's a great thing to testify. Or sister, the old devil may give you a pound, but praise God, the Lord strengthens you through testifying. God help you to speak up for Jesus. God help every child of God who has been silent, who has been mealy-mouthed in the past, speaking up for Christ. God give you a backbone instead of a fish's wishbone. Friend, God give you a backbone to stand up for Him. And she said, Lord, it's me. And here's the last thought. Notice her distinction. Verse 34. And Jesus said unto her, Daughter. Know what Jesus said? You're my child. You're my child. He said, Daughter. In other words, here was a woman that was an outcast, ceremoniously unclean. Nobody wanted to know her. Nobody wanted to be with her. And they felt contaminated in her presence. Glory to God. One moment and touching Jesus. And Jesus says, you're in my family. I'll own you. Daughter. No matter what, nobody else wants to know your friend or own you. When you become a child of the King. Notice that's a word tender, isn't it? Daughter. You're my wee child. My wee child. Remember what Jairus has said in verse 23. My little daughter lieth at the point of death. He loved that wee child. He loved her. And here Jesus says to this sinful woman or unclean woman. He says, I brought you into my family. You're not going to be lonely anymore. Daughter, listen to this. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You know, she had faith in her soul. And praise God, she found health in her body. And she got peace in her mind. Only Jesus can do that for them. Maybe there's somebody here in the service. And friend, maybe in days that are past, you have tried Jesus. I'm not asking to try Him. I'm asking to trust Him. Put your faith and your trust in the redeeming blood of Christ, and thou shalt be whole. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thy Son is the answer. Christ is the answer. We thank Thee the blood that He shed at Calvary is able to cleanse the vilest, the darkest, the deepest dyed sinner in this gathering. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name. Somebody come into this gathering tonight hopeless, maybe covered up, maybe nobody sees what's in their heart. Maybe they've gone to the doctors of the world. They've tried the physicians of the earth and religion and all the rest of it to try and satisfy the longing of their soul. And yet they're here hungry and thirsty tonight. And yet those that drink of the water that Christ shall give them shall never thirst again. Those that eat at His table of the bread of life shall never hunger. We pray that souls this night will come to Jesus, get rid of their sin, get to the blood, for Jesus' sake.